appreciate it. It's such a treat for me to be here with you this morning. I must admit, I've been a fanboy of HVBC for quite some time. I've known a number of your prior senior pastors, and now with Doc providing that extra leadership. I love Doc. He's a dear friend, and it's amazing to track. Thanks, mate. It's been amazing to track the journey of HVBC. In fact, I got more excited as I was driving here this morning. Now, I've come from the Central Coast, so it's a reasonable length drive to get to be with you today. But I'm going along, and one of my practices is I listen to the scriptures as I'm driving, and then I listen to worship songs. I want to have my heart warmed up, ready to go for when we gather together. And I'm just starting to enter the valley. And the Hawkesbury Valley, and the worship tunes are cranking, and I'm singing along there, and my eyes began to be open to this community and for the incredible development that's happening around here, just within like a 20-minute drive radius of this place. And I'm driving into Hawkesbury Valley, and I'm going, oh my goodness. Look how many homes are being built. Look at the existing homes, but how many people are moving into the Hawkesbury Valley area, and as I said, within kind of a 20-minute drive. And you know when Jesus talks about, the harvest is plentiful, the work is few, and he gives the disciples an eye to see the harvest. And I don't know what you see, whether you're very familiar with this community and that sort of stuff, but within a 20-minute radius of here, oh my goodness. This is phenomenal. The harvest is rich. And as Doc said, what I want to do this morning is to bring a word that God laid on my heart. It would have been about 6 months ago when I was at this point. And Doc very graciously said to me, he said, "Craig, just preach whatever God's placed on your heart." And I did that at Kellyville and at Box Hill. And as Doc said, there's been some traction. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing. Contraction in an area where for many of us, our experience is typically one of guilt and shame. Oftentimes in this area that I want to speak into today, people kind of say to me, "I know that I should, but no one's telling me how." And my hope today, is that together we might move from a place of feeling nothing but kind of guilt and shame and inadequacy to a place of empowerment, because the harvest is plentiful. Honestly, friends, the harvest is plentiful right here. And if collectively as a church we can grab hold of what I think God's got for us today, I think it's going to help get traction within this community in which God has strategically placed you. So, with that said, let me pray, and we're going to launch right in. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are present here today by your Spirit. Holy Spirit, my sense is that just in an even greater way, as when I was driving into this community today, that much like a creation, you hover over this place, and you see humans. You see people that are moving into this community. You see people that have been here for many, many years. You see the harvest in a way that I can't, and yet I just begin to get a glimpse of it today. Lord, I pray that you would give us a glimpse of the harvest field, and that moreover today that you would equip and empower us in a really vital area that I sense that for many of you today always means kind of this lingering sense of guilt and shame, and I could have, would have, should have, but I don't. So, Lord, I pray that today you would give us ears to hear what you want us to hear, and we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so we're going to move today over in Luke 11 for a time. You can put your finger in there, but also over in Matthew chapter 6. So if you've got your scriptures handy there, you might want to turn to those two passages as I am now. And over in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, if you got your scriptures open or your device open, it says that one day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." is that the disciples had consistently seen that Jesus had this practice of prayer. That regularly, even though the daytime was fairly full with Jesus teaching and healing and casting out demons and traveling around the place, one of Jesus' priorities, one of his top priorities, was that of prayer. And oftentimes it would seem from the scriptures, Jesus, whilst the disciples were having a sleep, Jesus would get up early and go to a solitary place. And there's kind of these unusual situations. Anybody seen those kids' book, Where's Wally? Where's Wally? Yeah, I've seen that before. It was almost like a Where's Wally with Jesus, because they get up in the morning and they go, where's he gone? We don't know where he is. And they have to go off and find Jesus, and often they find Jesus in a remote and solitary place. And there he would be praying. There he would be praying. And what that evoked, it would seem, from Luke 11:1 in the disciples was, we see that our rabbi, we see that Jesus has his priority on prayer, but we don't know how. We don't know how. But obviously this is something that really captures the heart of Jesus, but we're just not sure how to do it. And so here's the thing. Most people that I talk to in churches right across our association and other denominations as well, most people I talk to in churches feel the same way about prayer. We know it's important, don't we? You don't need another sermon this morning saying, hey, prayer's important, because all of us would tick that box. I guarantee. We took a survey now. 99.9% of us would go, yes, prayer is important. But much like the disciples, most of us also go, yeah, but I feel kind of rubbish. I don't feel really good in my own prayer life. I won't ask for a show of hands now, but have you ever had a situation where someone said to you, hey, will you pray for me? Now, what's the right answer? Yes, no one ever says that. That's just weird. You never say that. And so we all say, yes, yes, I will. And then, again, not going to ask for a show of hands. This is rhetorical bit right now, but see if you can relate. The person says, will you pray for me? You say, yes, I will. And you get home. Now, if you remember, and I'm going to trust that HCBC is a group of godly, wonderful people, so yes, you remember to pray for that person. But you go to pray for them, and you go, God bless Bob. Sorry, you got any Bobs here this morning? Any Bob? No, good. That's a fitting new moment. Okay, God bless Bob. Would you bless him real good? I had a Pentecostal friend of mine once talk about a double blessing, so if you got one of those, God give Bob the double blessing as well. Amen. And you get to the end of the prayer, and you kind of tick the box in praying for Bob. You can, and when Bob sees you next, and Bob says, hey, you've been praying for me, he goes, yes, I have. But most of us go, is that all there is? Is that the limit of prayer? Is that like what Jesus did in the solitary place, consistently just God bless Bob kind of prayers? Or is there something more to prayer? Surely there is. Surely there is more to prayer than just God. And what I love about Jesus is that, amongst many things, is that Jesus brings what I call, and you won't find this written anywhere else, I call it Jesus' discipleship special force. Bring his discipleship special source to bear in the area of prayer with his disciples. Now, Jesus' discipleship special source, as I've been looking in the gospel, what I see Jesus do consistently, Jesus takes something that is big and complex and it's unattainable. And he makes that thing simple, repeatable, and transformable. Jesus takes things consistently that are big and complex and unattainable and makes them simple, repeatable, and transferable. Let me give you a couple of examples. Okay? Remember in the story of the Gospels, there's a guy who comes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? Yeah? Subtext, Jesus, there's 613 of them. Before I even get out of bed in the morning and put my feet on the ground, what's the biggest one? What's the greatest one? What can I hang on? You know what Jesus says? Jesus says something to throw around. Jesus says what? He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, love your neighbor as yourself. Reckon you can do that?
simple repetitive story. When Jesus is just about to conclude his earthly ministry, he's about to commission his disciples to go into all the world. We're talking like reaching the entire globe with the gospel. Again, this is a big, complex, kind of unattainable goal. What does he do? He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey whatever he has commanded you. Guys, I want you to go, I want you to baptize, I want you to teach them. We can do that. Big, complex, unattainable, simple, repeatable, transferable. Why I call it Jesus' special source. And he does it again here in this area of prayer. He does it in Luke 11, and he also does it, the passage I actually particularly want to focus on, probably because it's even better known to you, is in Matthew 6. So if you've got your device or your paper Bible handy, Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. Okay. So we're talking this context of prayer. Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus says this. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Okay, wind the clock back for me a whole lot of years, and when I was in high school, I went to a church school. It was an all-boys church school. Now, I don't say it's a Christian school, it's a church school, because I'm pretty sure Jesus, like Elvis, had left the building many years before. And it was a weird place sometimes. And we would have this school assembly on Monday every week, first thing Monday morning, about 1,000 boys, which probably stinks for many, because there were 1,000 teenage boys with me. We had 1,000 boys in this school assembly, and the principal would get up there and do the principal thing, but we had a chaplain. And the chaplain would get up, and he'd have his robes on, and he would get up, and there was always a little kind of sermonette, and the sermonette was things like, play nicely with one another, listen to your teachers, do what your parents tell you, or some sort of variation on those things. And then he would pray. Now, when the chaplain would pray, we were all on the edge of our seats because we were waiting for our cue. Okay? So I'd be praying and praying and praying, and you'd be all waiting on tenterhooks for the cue. And the cue was, so we pray in the words of our Lord, and then 1,000 boys would then start reciting the Lord's Prayer, what we just read, but in the King James Version, because apparently that's more spiritual. You know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and all that stuff. Yeah. If you weren't reciting it, there were teachers littered all around the assembly, and you'd get busted. You'd get a detention if you didn't say the Lord's Prayer out loud. And so all these boys were all waiting. Oh, brilliant. We start praying. Now, had a friend of mine who had a very, very similar experience when he was growing up, and his words to me were, it felt like the Lord's Prayer was a spiritual equivalent of two or beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, ice, sesame seed, bun. And I had my World Series Cup poster now, if you remember back in the day, when you got a World Series Cup poster to sign the Big Mac, the ingredients of McDonald's. It was meaningless. It was absolutely meaningless when it was communicated in that way. But the irony is that rather than being an exercise of reciting this thing like a parrot, this prayer is again Jesus taking something that is big and complex and unattainable, like speaking to the God who created the entire universe. That's big. And Jesus makes it simple, repeatable, and transparent. In fact, when Jesus gave this prayer, he gave it in the original. It's actually a Roman tongue. You didn't notice that when you look at the scriptures, most of it's written in prosaic form, but you get the Lord's Prayer in there, and it's written as a song, as a poem. Just so it's even more understandable, and it's more beautiful. That's what Jesus is doing here. This is something that you can repeat and you can transfer to other disciples. This is part of our discipleship of ourselves. And what I'm going to share with you I didn't think this thing up. It was shown to me by a dear friend of mine called Tim. And Doc was saying it revolutionized stuff over at New Hope, and I was like, revolutionized my life before I ever pressed it. This is probably the single most catalytic element that's helped me to be able to cry. In fact, just yesterday, I was crying through this morning. I've been interceding for a number of people, but I said, Lord, I'm preaching over at HVBC tomorrow, and I'm preaching at New Hope tomorrow. And I started to utilize this as a template for crying for you just yesterday. If what Jesus is giving us here is a template for prayer, and it's an exciting way to pray because it's not simply reciting this thing through, but it's a conversation, as it were, between myself and God, the Holy Spirit, who resides within me as a believer in Christ. And what I do, I utilize this template to give the Spirit opportunity to prompt me about where to really press into prayer. And I want to explain the template to you. I want to give you a couple of examples as well of how it works. I think you might find this really, really helpful. So I think we've got the slides there, fellas. Here we go. Okay. Doc has actually prepared a little giveaway later, so you don't have to take notes, you can if you want. But Doc's actually prepared this little card for you guys later, which is very gracious. I talked about the prayer hexagon. I just use the hexagon because it's a simple shape, it just helps me to remember it. Some sort of metaphor. And initially in the Lord's Prayer, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, it speaks into the Father's character, So it begins, "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed or holy is your name." It's an invitation to pray into aspects of the character of God, certainly the holiness of God. But you might be asked, Bob might have asked you to pray for him, and maybe the sense that you have is that Bob needs kind of a revelation of the love of God. Maybe he's just feeling incredibly isolated right now. And so you might want to be praying for Bob. God, I pray that you would help Bob. I pray that you would help Bob to be able to have a revelation, an understanding, a deep, heartfelt experience of your love and of your presence for him. Or maybe it is the holiness of God. God, would you reveal your holiness for him? I had the privilege about a month ago of leading my barber to know Jesus. It was just awesome. And so my prayer for my barber is, Lord, would you show him that you are the God who saves? That you are passionate for this man. You are the God who saves. So we pray into the character of God. But then after that, we might move across into praying for the Father's kingdom. It says there in verse 10, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And maybe the situation that you've been asked to pray into, maybe that's a situation of sickness. And your prayer might be, God, in the kingdom of heaven, where you reign as king over all, there is no sickness or death or pain or disease. And I pray that the reality of the kingdom will be brought to bear in this person's life. So, Lord, I want to pray healing into this person's life. Okay, pause. Let me step out of this sermon just for a moment. Because for some of you right now, there's a three-word question. The three-word question is, what about me? What about when I did pray for that person and I didn't get it? What about when I prayed for my friend and I passed away? I want to say to you right here, right now, that is a real question. And to be honest, that is a question that I have wrestled with, and I went through a huge dark moment of sorrow as I wrestled with that question. If at some point, you guys don't want to invite me back, I'm happy to talk about that. I'm actually preaching into that tomorrow, but that's amazing. So we are invited into becoming the reality of the kingdom into the situation. But one of our questions is a real one. But it doesn't reflect what's going on with you. But if you can't wait, come in the next step and you want to accept it. We prayed in the Father's character. We prayed in the Father's kingdom. Thirdly, we were invited to pray into the Father's provision. It says, give us today our daily bread. And that this is an invitation to intercede, to pray into provision, and that God would supply our needs. And it might be daily bread. I've had situations before, I'll share with you one of those in a few moments' time, of praying for a dear mate of mine who had finished up in his work and didn't have a job and he wasn't sure how they would support the family. And so my prayer for him was for provision that God literally would provide daily bread. We move on from there into the Father's forgiveness in verse 12. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Maybe Bob, who you're praying for, maybe Bob just needs to know that he's forgiven. Maybe he's wrapped with guilt and shame for whatever reason and struggling to understand that God forgives him or to forgive himself. And so maybe we want to pray for that, or maybe, and this is a real time thing for me. Helping to know that he is the person who is forgiven by you, and pray that he wouldn't just be a reservoir of that forgiveness, but he'd be a river of that forgiveness in the lives of other people. The prayer moves on, and the prayer for guidance, and it says, and lead us not into temptation. And at this point, the prayer is, Lord, don't lead them down the paths of temptation and sin, and areas that are going to restrict freedom, but Lord, would you lead them in paths of righteousness for your name's sake? Would you give them clarity? Lord, Bob might be facing one of those key junctions in the road. Do they go right or do they go left? And Lord, I pray that you would guide them very clearly in paths of righteousness according to your good purposes for that person. And then finally, in the back part of verse 13, it's a prayer for the Father's protection, but deliver us from the evil one. You see, we have an enemy who has his own kingdom, as it were, the kingdom of darkness, and our enemy is literally hell-bent on death, destruction. He is the father of lies. He is seeking to undermine God's good kingdom, and so we pray protection. We pray protection over this person. In fact, friends, what I have come to do over these past few years as I've been utilizing this sort of prayer template is I pray not only would the person be protected, you know, the scriptures in Psalms say the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. I actually pray that by the grace of God, that God would use this person to push back the darkness. That it wouldn't be just a prayer in a defensive posture, but it would actually be a prayer in an offensive posture that would be pushing back the darkness in families, in lives, in communities. So pray against the enemy. Okay. So that's the template. That's it. Jesus taking something that is big, complex, unattainable, and he makes it simple, repeatable, and transferable. I would imagine that many of us in this room already have memorized the Lord's Prayer. I'm showing you how to use it, but giving you two examples, two very different examples. Real examples, but I've just changed the names. But now, these are more historic ones. As I said, I've got real-time examples that I'm praying free for people at the moment, but let me give you some more historic ones. So, when I was senior pastor at Narara Valley Baptist Church, we had a lady there, and I'll call her Rachel this morning, not her real name, but definitely a real person. And Rachel, she was 30 years of age, and identified a lump on the breast, and the doctor said that she had breast cancer. 30-year-old young lady, vibrant, full of life. But she came to me and asked her question. Regularly went to I spend time in worship, that I spend time praying, that on this one I got a sense to really press into this area of the Lord's Prayer. And I say, God, would you be great for just like a supernatural revelation that you are present with me, because God, you see me that isolated in me. I pray that you would manifest your presence in a very particular, a very special way. Maybe it's directly, maybe it's going to be through your people that are going to care and console her and to be present with her as she has chemo, whatever she's going to have. But Lord, would you remind her that you go through this journey with her? She's not alone. And so I would spend a fair bit of time playing into the Father's character. The second area, again, I would spend a fair bit of time on that, the kingdom, the Father's kingdom. I say, God, you know what? In your kingdom, you say that there is no sickness, disease, pain, and that sort of stuff. And I pray that the kingdom reality, the kingdom of God reality, would manifest in Rachel's life. Would you bring healing into her life? And Lord, I don't know whether that's going to be supernatural, instantaneous, whether you're going to use the doctors and the nurses and the chemo and the radiotherapy. I don't know how you're going to do it, Lord. But would you bring healing into her life? The revelation and of the kingdom would be brought to bear within her life. The area of provision, I didn't pray too much. Again, as I said, as you're going through, you're praying through the prayer hexagons, of course. There will be areas that you sense God really pressing you to pray into, but other areas, not so much. And this one wasn't a big deal. Her employer had looked after her very well. She had what she needed in terms of provision. And so there wasn't a big pressing need to pray into provision. So that was fine. I just kept moving. Forgiveness as well. But I didn't really sense for Rachel that there were any big forgiveness issues that she needed to address, that she needed to be willing to forgive and that sort of thing. Again, move through that. Because typically what I find is 2, 3, maybe 4 areas of this that God really called their attention into, and others just go through. That's okay. That's no problem at all. In guidance, I spend a bit of time in guidance, just that God would direct her toward, you know, the right specialist and treatments and that sort of stuff. But I did pray a lot into the Father's protection. And I would say, God, you know, she's in a pretty bad place today. She's in a pretty bad place today. Do you know how big the enemy wants to express the life in a big moment, Christian? So, God, this is a prime opportunity for her to massively, you know, question you and the goodness and the grace of your Lord. And I pray protection of her. Rachel did get healed. And yes, the Lord used the doctors and that sort of stuff, but she was at quite advanced stage of breast cancer, and there were no guarantees that they had all of the beginning of that journey. But God said, she got healed. And it's just familiar that we are on the dead, so the love of Jesus is very practical and intelligent and loving. So that's example one. Example number two, very different context. Guy in our church, I'll call him Ethan, not again, that is the name. Ethan used to work for a Christian not-for-profit, mainly working with kids on the street. And to be really blunt and honest with you, he is the most experienced, gifted, equipped person I have ever met that God has used to bring catalytic change to disadvantaged kids on the Central Coast, like off the charts, this guy. But the organization that he worked for didn't look after their people very well at all, if I'm going to start to put it that sort of way. And literally, my friend Ethan found himself one evening at 2 a.m. in the laundry of his home, rocking back and forth in the corner. He completely burned out. Literally rocking back and forth in his laundry. And my friend Ethan said in a phrase, "Where do you come from?" I would just have to go. So I did. I went back to utilizing this because I'm not smart like it. It's a symptom. It's repeatable. And it's transferable. And so I started to pray. I said, God, would you give Ethan just a revelation? A revelation of your life. He is feeling so bad right now. He is feeling like, even though he's like one of the most gifted and equipped guys I know, he's feeling like an abject failure. Lord, would you speak love and would you speak life into me? I kept going around the presence of God, and I pray the reality of the kingdom of God is in God's kingdom, it's the kingdom of love and light. So Lord, would you bring your love and your light to bear in a very dark situation that he is going through right now. Now, I did pray for provision. I did have to pray for too long. Because in this incredible way, sadly, just as he was rocking back and forth in a corner, at the same time, his wife lost his job. This is terrible. God prayed for provision, and literally within a week, his wife had gained employment at a far higher salary point, and we saw God's provision there. And that was just amazing. We were all thankful for that. The big one I prayed into was forgiveness. Now, I had to pray the Father's forgiveness, that the God would help Ethan to forgive his employer. I had to pray that for me as well, because I was really angry. I know this organization, they're a Christian organization, and I have treated them so poorly. And I don't know, I'd like to think it was all righteous indignation. There was probably some darkness in there as well. I was pretty ticked off. And so I had to pray, all right, God, pray your Father's forgiveness into Ethan's life and help him to be able to forgive, but Lord, help me to forgive as well, because I'm pretty grumpy about this right now. I'm pretty ticked off. There was a bit of guidance, mainly toward what the next phase of life would be. He couldn't go back to what he was doing. And he tried, but he couldn't do it. And there was definitely prayers for him, because I could see that he was in a very vulnerable place. Again, winding the clock forward, Ethan's doing far better now. He's reframed. And that organization as far as I know is still going forward, but maybe in a helpful way right now. So as I said, when you're praying through this, you will probably sense God's Spirit inviting you to press into maybe two or three, sometimes four, of these areas. The other ones, it's not as relevant. Or maybe it is relevant for a time like provision for Ethan, but then God answers that, and that's okay with you. Don't have to worry about that anymore, because God's already shown his faithfulness to his life. But for me, it's made prayer more of an adventure, more of a conversation, rather than simply praying through the Lord's Prayer rote, like the ingredients of a Big Mac. Okay? Question for you, and this is not a rhetorical. Is this doable? Amen? I've got one amen. Okay. But that's not okay. Is it, like, oh, seriously, is this doable? Okay. So, here's what I'd like you to do to close out the message from. I want to give you the opportunity to do this. Because you learn to pray by praying. Hopefully there'll be some stuff that I've shown you this morning that will help you, that will catalyze some stuff. But maybe you learn to pray just by praying, right? I learned to talk to my wife in the day. It was terrifying initially because she's awesome. And I haven't ever talked to this amazing person, but I started talking with her. These days, after more than 30 years of marriage, I'm quite comfortable talking with my wife. You'd be happy to know. Yeah. You learn to pray by praying. So, I want to give you the opportunity to do it. What I'm going to ask you to do, if you are comfortable, and if you're not, that's okay. You can just bow your head where you're at and just pray, pray for someone like Bob who you know who has a need. But I really want to encourage you, start up with somebody next to you. And I want you to only briefly, I don't want you to spend a whole lot of time sharing the in-depth on the prayer point unless you have to. Just key bullet points. What can this other person pray for you? And then they're going to pray for you, and then you swap it around. And then the other person shares with you what's on their heart. It's short, sharp, okay? And as safe as you feel. Okay, if the person is sitting next to you and you've never met them before, you don't probably feel particularly comfortable bearing your soul, and that's okay. This needs to be a safe space. But I want to give you the opportunity to do it. I'm only going to be giving you 5 minutes. Okay, so bang, that may just 1 point and then today. Okay? Just to give you a go at doing it. So, do we want to hand out anything? Oh, no, we'll just leave that up on the screen. Yeah? Well, if we can leave that up on the screen, if you guys can pair up, have a time in the city, go through the brand history line, you've got it up on screen so you won't forget it. Can we do that now? Excellent, let's do that now. That's overwhelming.